This is the last Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we have been listening as Jesus tells us who he is during this Advent season. We have listened as Jesus says, I am. So many different ways of thinking and understanding who he is. And on this last Sunday of Advent, we listen once again to the words of Jesus. So I invite you to hear the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 and following. As in a very pivotal moment in the life of Jesus, he tells not only his close friends and his disciples who he is, but he also shares with us an important word. The context of our text for this morning is Jesus has learned that his friend Lazarus was sick, but Jesus tarries and does not come until 2 days later. As he arrives, he learns that in the meantime, Lazarus has died. And we pick up in our text today as Lazarus' sister, Martha, comes to meet Jesus on the road. Starting in verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to him, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection, in the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this text for today. The scene, as you can imagine, was incredibly tense. As we mentioned, Lazarus has died. Martha, his sister, is coming out to meet Jesus on the road as he travels in to the town. The community was devastated by the death of Lazarus, and certainly his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary, were just as devastated. Both sisters knew that Jesus was coming, that he was nearing their home. But only Martha made her way out to meet Jesus. Mary simply could not bring herself to face him. Now, not only was Martha grieving the loss of her brother, Lazarus, but she was angry with Jesus. When she meets him on the road, she doesn't say to him, Jesus, thank you for coming. She doesn't say to him, Jesus, it really means a lot that you would come and support us during this time. No. The first words out of her mouth are steaming, belligerent words. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not be dead. Now, can you imagine how Jesus felt when these words came out of Martha's mouth? We often think of the divinity of Jesus, but we sometimes forget his humanity. Can you imagine the sting? Can you imagine the piercing nature of these words into the heart of Jesus? Now, it was true. When Jesus learned that Lazarus was sick, the Bible is very clear. Earlier in chapter 11, in verse 6, just verses before we started reading this morning, we are told that when Jesus learned that Lazarus was dead, listen to what he did. Quote, he stayed where he was 2 more days. He didn't drop everything. He didn't leave all that he was doing and go to be with Lazarus and Martha and Mary. No, he just stayed where he was. And in our text for today, Martha lets Jesus know she does not appreciate his lateness. In fact, she blames him for her brother being dead. But what we find here is Martha's anger becomes a teachable moment. It's a teachable moment, not just for her, but it's a teachable moment for all of us. Jesus very patiently says, "Martha, your brother will rise again." Martha's words are exactly what we might expect them to be. She says, "Oh, I know that, Jesus. I know that one day when the resurrection comes, one day out there in the future, I know he's going to rise again." She doesn't have to say it. But what she's implying is this: I know one day he's going to rise again. We all will. But that doesn't make a difference right now, Jesus. He's still dead. And he's dead because you weren't here. But patiently, Jesus says, "No, Martha. You don't understand what I'm saying. The resurrection, it's not out there somewhere. The resurrection is not some event that's going to take place in the future. No, Martha, what I'm saying is I am the resurrection. See, the resurrection is not something that's going to happen. The resurrection is a person. It's me. In other words, I am the resurrection. I am life itself. In other words, Martha, I am God's love in physical form." This season, Jesus has taught us. He said, "I am light, and because I'm light, you have hope." Jesus has said, "I am the vine, and when you abide and remain in me, you will have peace." Jesus has said, "I am the bread, and because I am the bread of God and the bread of life, you will experience joy." And this morning, he says to Martha, and he says to us on this last Sunday of Advent, "I am the resurrection." And what that means for you is that in me, you have life because of the love of God. Two times earlier in the Gospel of John, earlier than our text for today, Jesus explains what he means when he talks about being the resurrection in John chapter 10, verse 10, just one chapter before our text for this morning. Jesus tells us why he came to earth. Listen to what he says. John chapter 10, verse 10. "I have come," why? "That you may have life and that you may have it to the full." In other words, you're not just going to exist in me. You're going to have abundant, eternal, rich life. And of course, earlier in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, that well-known beloved verse, Jesus summarizes our entire faith when he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, will not die like Lazarus, but will have eternal life," as we heard in the solo. As the resurrection, as God's love, we read Jesus came to save us so that we might live forever in the love of God. As the resurrection, Jesus is, get this, Jesus is God's love in human form. Dr. Robert Browning, in a sermon at Smoke Rise Baptist Church several years ago, preached these words. He said, "Love won't let you say no, will it? When you want to walk the other way, or slam the door, love just won't let you do it. As Paul wrote, love always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. Love never fails. Love," he says, "has a way of reminding you that God will never walk away from you. God's love holds on to you when you have no place to turn or when you are at the end of your rope. Beautiful words. See, God becoming a human being in Jesus, that was the very best way, as Jessica shared with us earlier, to demonstrate, not just tell us, but demonstrate how much God loves us. God didn't just say it. God showed us by becoming one of us. In his book, When God Whispers Your Name, Max Lucado writes, God became like us so that we could become like him. God loves each one of us like there was only one of us to love. 4 years ago, Christmas Day fell on a Sunday morning. Some of us gathered here in the sanctuary that morning to worship. On that morning, I shared with you a story. You may remember it or you may not, but its truthfulness is so poignant. The story is this: one raw and winter night, a farmer heard an irregular thumping sound against the kitchen storm door. So he went to the window and watched as tiny shivering sparrows, attracted to the evident warmth and light inside, beat in vain against the glass of the door. Touched, the farmer bundled up and trudged through the fresh snow to open the barn for the struggling birds. He turned on the lights, he tossed some hay into the corner of the barn, and then he sprinkled a trail of saltine crackers to direct the birds into the barn. But the sparrows, which had scattered in all directions when he emerged from the house, they still hid in the darkness. They were afraid of him. So the farmer tried everything he could to think of how to help the birds. He circled behind them, trying to drive them into the barn. He waved his arms, trying to get them to fly out of the tree into the barns. He crumbled some crackers and threw them into the air, trying to get the birds to leave where they were, but nothing worked. He wanted to lead the birds to the warmth of the barn, but all he did was scare the poor birds, keeping them away from the barn and out in the cold night air. He withdrew to his house and watched the doomed sparrows through a window. And it was then that the farmer thought to himself, if only I could become a bird. If I could become one of them just for a moment, then I wouldn't frighten them so much. Then I could show them the way to warmth and to safety. Then, if I could become like them, I could save them. That's what God has done for us. By sending Jesus in the incarnation, God became one of us. Why? In order to save us. One person has said, a man becoming a bird is nothing compared to God becoming a human being. God loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to become one of us in order to save us. See, as Christmas comes each year, it comes to draw people in from the harsh elements of this world, the harsh cruelty of this life, like tiny, frightened sparrows shivering in the cold. So many people live their lives on the barren branches of heartbreak, disappointment, and loneliness, living every day with thoughts of shame and self-pity and guilt and failure. But Emmanuel has come. Resurrection and life and love are here. God is with us. For God didn't come to frighten us, but to show us and lead us to warmth and to safety and to salvation, leading us to a better way, a resurrected way of living. God became a person. One person has said, heaven opened and placed the most precious one in human form. The omnipotent, in one instant, became flesh and blood. The one who is larger than the universe became a microscopic embryo. God became one of us. You see, on that first Christmas morning, God gave us a Savior when the world desperately needed one. When the world seemed hopeless, God gave us hope and peace and joy and love in the form of a baby in a manger. In John chapter 3, verse 35, we read, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand." Can we even imagine, what God's emotions were on that first Christmas when His dearly beloved Son left heaven for earth, knowing that one day He would go to a cross as despised and rejected by human beings, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. At Christmas, we rightly focus on the love of God, but we cannot forget what it cost God to send His only begotten Son into the world. And why did He do it? Again, we remember, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon once wrote, "Believer, look back through all your experiences and think of the way whereby the Lord has led you through the wilderness. How God has fed and clothed you every day. How God has borne your ill manners and your murmurings. How God has opened the rock to supply you with what you need. How God has fed you manna from heaven. Think of how God's grace has been sufficient for all of your troubles. Think of how the blood of Christ has forgiven you, how the grace of God has been sufficient for all of your sins, how God's rod and staff have comforted you. For when you look back on the love of the Lord, let faith lead you into the future, for the grace of Christ has something more for you in the future than just in the past. God, who has loved you and forgiven you in the past, will never cease to love you or forgive you in the future." You see, Christmas is God's reminder that we are never alone. We are not alone, for God has come down from heaven to show us how much He loves us. One person says, if we could condense all the truths of Christmas into three words, these would be the three words: God with us. More astonishing than a baby in a manger is the truth that the promised baby is the omnipotent creator of the heavens and the earth. I invite you this morning to think about this. If God didn't want to love something, then God would never create it. Everything we see, and even the trillions of things we do not see, are made by God for one reason: so that God might love them. God loves them all. Every star, every plant, every animal, every cell, and most of all, every human being was created out of God's loving compassion. You were created as an object of God's love. God made you in order to love you. His love is the very reason you are alive and that you are breathing this morning. Think about this. Every time your heart beats, every time you take a breath, that is God saying, "I love you. I love you." You would not exist without God's love. And because God's love for you is unconditional, what that means today during this Christmas season and every day of your life is that God loves you on your bad days as well as your good days. It means God's love for you does not exist only when you feel it. God's love does not exist only when we see the light from the candle burning. Even when the candle's not burning, God's love is still there with us. God's love is there regardless of your performance, regardless of your mood, regardless of your actions, regardless of your thoughts. And remember this, God's love is unchanging. Everything else in your life, everything else in your life is going to change. But God's love is steady. It is constant. It is continuous. There is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. You can try, but you will fail. Because God's love for you is based on God's character, not on your conduct. It is based on who God is, not on what any of us have done. The message of Christmas is so simple. We are loved. And God's love is demonstrated in one simple but miraculous act, giving us Jesus, the resurrection, the life, the love of God in the form of a baby. This morning, Emmanuel has come. God's love is with us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this morning, we are grateful for the gifts of hope, of peace, of joy, and especially today, we are grateful for your love. Lord, we realize that everything in creation, including us, including our every life and every breath, is a gift because you love us. Help us in the good and the bad days to remember that you are always with us and that your love is ever present. Lead us and guide us, for we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.